This is the fourth week of our series on how to bring spiritual comfort. You know, a feeling of coziness and warmth to yourself and to others this holiday season. Over the last few weeks, we've been learning how to prepare our homes and our hearts for the coming of the Lord, how to find peace for ourselves through all the hype of the Christmas shopping season, how to create cozy, comforting spaces among our families and friends, and how to bring spiritual comfort to others by accompanying them on the journey of their lives. And to do that, to talk about this comfort and coziness, we've been reflecting on a Scandinavian word called hygge. It's spelled H-Y-G-G-E, and it's the Scandinavian art of creating a feeling of warmth, a feeling of warmth during the cold and dark winter months, a kind of coziness among people that offers a comforting sense of togetherness. That's hygge. But hygge can also be spiritual, which is why we're talking about it in church. So over the last few weeks, we've been talking about how to bring some spiritual comfort to ourselves at this time of year by slowing down, preparing our homes for the coming of the Messiah, and trying to find a little peace for ourselves in this crazy world and hectic season. Last week, we looked at how there's a great deal of comfort in the recognition that we are not saviors, but rather people who wait on a savior to come. Surrendering ourselves to the truth that there's something bigger in this world than just ourselves actually brings comfort to our souls and our homes. Giving up control, even a little, and believing that it is God who makes things happen, not us, is a form of spiritual hygge. We've also talked about other things in this series, and if you've missed any of the prior episodes, you can find them on our website, sthillary.org. But tonight I want to talk with you about something else related to hygge. See, hygge, it can sound, when we're talking about hygge, you know, and being comfortable and receiving God's comfort, it can sound like we're just comforting ourselves. But by its very definition, hygge is meant to be shared. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. How to share spiritual hygge, spiritual comfort with others. In the gospel reading for today, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, the angel said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Now, I got to say from the outset, I would be greatly troubled as well if Gabriel appeared before me. Because angels are not cute. They are not cuddly cherubs with wings. In the Bible, angels are presented as formidable, awe-inspiring creatures. They are not to be trifled with, and nearly every person who encounters one is naturally overwhelmed. But angels are actually on our side, or at least the good ones are, because God sends them to help us. Now, some angels help us by delivering important messages from God, and that's what Gabriel was doing in today's passage. He's done it before. He appeared to Daniel in the Old Testament and to Zechariah in the passage just before this story, when Gabriel announced that John the Baptist would be born. But Mary is still worried, and to allay her fear, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." In just a few words, Gabriel brings some spiritual comfort to Mary. He calms her fears, and he tells her it's going to be all right. She takes comfort in the fact that God loves her and is in charge of her future, which Gabriel then reveals to her in detail. He says, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." What's he talking about? Well, Gabriel was referring to the scripture passage we heard in the first reading today. In that story, King David, the greatest of all the Jewish kings, reigning about 1,000 years before Christ was born, King David wanted to build a house for God. For too long, David thought, God had lived in a tent. You see, ever since Moses liberated the ancient Israelites from slavery in Egypt, and they started wandering in the desert, God had traveled with them in a portable tent called the tabernacle. You can see it, a depiction of that here. It literally was a fold-up tent built to God's exact specifications. But God had commanded Moses in the book of Exodus to construct it, and it was meant, even though it was a tent, it was meant to be an earthly dwelling of God among the people. Wherever they went, it contained the Ark of the Covenant, which you can see pictured here. The Ark of the Covenant. Yeah. And in that Ark of the Covenant was Aaron's rod. The priest Aaron from the Old Testament was the Ten Commandments and the presence of God. Over those two cherub wings. You see how those two cherub wings, the angel wings, are back to back? God's seat was thought to be right there, sitting on top of those wings. That's how they conceived of it, the ancient Israelites. And God's presence was believed to be wherever the ark was. Now, after David conquered the city of Jerusalem, the ark was sent there. And the Israelites fully occupied the land and lived in peace at that time. So David came to the conclusion that God should not continue to live in a tent. He decided to build a temple for the Lord, a permanent site of worship where the ark could be housed. We can take down that slide now. But God had other plans and promised David instead that God would be the one to establish a house for David, not the other way around. And that house that God would establish for David would be his everlasting kingdom. When Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel with the announcement that she would give birth to Jesus, God's promise to David was finally fulfilled. Jesus would be given the throne of David, and he would rule over the house of Jacob forever. Mary became the new Ark of the Covenant because she bore God's presence in her womb. When David wanted to make a home for the Lord, the result was the promise of an everlasting kingdom of peace for all humanity. And when Mary made a home for the Lord in her womb, the result was the salvation of the world. For centuries, God's people had been disobedient and unfaithful. They somehow could not manage to find room in their crowded inns for the Lord to enter, as we'll hear in the Christmas story tomorrow night. But there was one person, Mary, God knew would make room for a tiny baby to be born. So she said to Gabriel, "May it be done to me according to your word." In the same way, whenever we make space for God, the result is always a blessing for the world. And we create a space for the Lord to enter into our human existence. In fact, that's exactly what happened next in Mary's story. When the angel announced God's plan for the world, Gabriel also told her, "And behold, Elizabeth, your relative has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." I love that line. I love reading it. Nothing will be impossible for God. So after receiving God's message of comfort and responding to it with openness and acceptance, what does Mary do? She goes to Elizabeth's house alone, at least a 3-day journey on foot, to help and bring her comfort, to bring Elizabeth comfort in the 6th month of her own pregnancy. Mary was comforted by the voice of an angel, and she brought that same comfort to an elderly relative in her hour of need. God's comfort, His warmth, His desire to be close to us is meant to be shared with others. Because whenever we offer that to others, the result is that we conceive and bring forth into the world the Word of God, who came to dwell with us and comfort us by His presence. Whenever God blesses us, whether it's with a cozy, loving family, or with financial stability and prosperity, or with health and a long lifespan, or all of these gifts or others, these gifts are given with the intent that we share them generously with the rest of the world. What God gives us, we are expected to offer others. It's tempting to accept God's gifts and keep them for ourselves, enjoying His kindness in our lives while forgetting about the needs others have to be comforted and loved. We benefit from God's lavishness while others around us are sometimes starving for attention, grace, and consolation. The coziness of hygge, the comfort of spiritual hygge coming down from above, it's meant to be shared. You know, we always talk about going to church. Many people come to church on Sundays to receive comfort and consolation from God. That's a good and positive thing. We all need that. But what if we also made a real effort to be church wherever we go? What if we always tried to bring spiritual comfort to others during the holidays? What if we worked on making room for others, including our family members, maybe by showing a little forbearance for those who annoy us or treat us badly, forgiving them, and perhaps doing one thing we know that will bring them comfort? God comforted Mary with a reassuring message of her future. Mary then comforted Elizabeth with her presence. Maybe we could try to follow her example this Christmas. And we did. We did. Last Sunday, a huge number of you came to help prepare comfort bags to bring a little comfort, coziness, and love to the homeless in our area this Christmas. It was a huge effort, and to be honest, a little chaotic and disorganized because I was leading it. But we did it. We did it. We delivered those comfort bags, 150 of them. 100 to adults, 50 to children. We delivered them Friday evening. Our school helped us prepare them as well. The kids at school prepared the ones for the children. And we delivered them all Friday to our mission partner, St. Vincent de Paul, in San Rafael. And it was such a joy. In a sometimes hostile world, you could be the messenger of God's mercy and understanding. In a world where so many follow their own agendas and take care of their own interests only, you could be a messenger of God's selflessness and generosity. In a world where so many are disconnected from one another, you could be a messenger of God's presence and caring company. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. The world will gather with fascination at the story of the birth of the Christ child. The angels, the shepherds, the animals in the stable, the newborn Savior wrapped in swaddling clothes. It's a cozy scene, at least the way we think of it today. But these images are also powerful reminders of God's decision to break into our uncomfortable world with a comforting message of peace and the closeness and warmth of the Christ child who forever transformed the world. So when you get home this evening and put the final touches on your perfect Christmas experience, please do me a favor and remember that the greatest gift you could ever give someone is the gift of God's comfort, warmth, and peace.